Merkle Media.
Driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkle.
And I am Brian Merkle.
And I'm really glad you're here, and so is he. if you have any crazy experiences you want to share on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. And that's crazy stories, wild stories, or just, hey, I'm in the industry of driving, and I want to talk to you about it.
Yes.
We're down for a conversation when it comes about the transportation industry, and we're truck drivers, but you don't got to be.
You got that right.
Absolutely. So, Dad, we have voicemails this week again.
How exciting. That is so cool. People call and talk to us.
Yeah, we had two people call, and you know, the first guy, we're not going to play it, and buddy, I don't even know who you are, and I just want to say I'm sorry. I would love to play it, but your audio was cutting it out. We couldn't really hear what you were saying, and you sounded like a familiar voice, so I think you might have been a previous guest on the show, right. But we didn't even catch a name. So we're going to play the other person that called in, and they actually left two voicemails. So we're going to listen to them here and see where it goes. But usually, I've already listened to the voicemails, and I have not listened to these yet. So,
oh, this is a surprise for both of us.
For both of us. Let's do it.
What's up, Tony? My name's Colby from Dallas. I drive for Old Dominion. I'm a... over the road, well, line haul. I run line haul from Dallas to San Antonio every day, but I used to drive in the city. And man, there's so many stories that you guys talk about getting hung up in the city, doing city work with a straight truck or a trailer that was too long to take around a corner. Man, it reminded me of a story one time when I used to go do swaps late at night. I had to go to the McCormick warehouse and pick up these big overloaded trailers. You know, of course they didn't care if, you know, they don't care how much overweight you are. If you're willing to bring it back and you're the little guy, you don't want to be the one complaining, right? Well, either way, we had to go make these swaps at the McCormick warehouse, and I was coming back one night and it was raining, you know, just kind of more than a drizzle, but just enough to where it was a steady rain, and driving under the lights back into Dallas, trying to get to the terminal, you can't hardly see anything with all the rain on the windshields and the lights glaring and everything. And I was driving up under down Interstate 20 up under Highway 67, and it was I was in one of the old dinosaurs that they had. And, you know, sometimes windshield wipers would work, sometimes they don't. And so in that situation, trying to keep this overloaded trailer on the road, as I was going under the pass, under the Highway 67, I could see somebody kind of moving across the bridge up there, and I couldn't tell if it was a person or if I had really seen a person up there, but because of the lights and the glare it looked like I was looking through a glass of ice or something, you know. And sure enough, as I went under the underpass on Interstate 20, it sounded like a bomb went off inside the cab of this old truck. and it was already rattling so bad, you know, you didn't really want to drive the dang thing. But it sounded like an explosion went off inside the cab, and right as that had happened, this bowling ball sized piece of concrete bounced off the hood of my truck out in front of onto the interstate, and shot like a bullet right off the roof or hood of my truck. Right after it had hit, right on the where the cab and the windshield meet, and sure enough, I realized that right as I was going under, there was one or two people standing up there, and best thing I can figure, man, is that somebody actually had thrown a piece of the bridge off at me as I was going under. And this is like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, maybe close to midnight, you know, one of them late swaps when you're out there all by yourself and you're just trying to make it in the city. But it blew me away, man. And when I got back to the terminal and my heart rate had settled down, and I looked, and sure enough, man, there was a huge smashed dent right in the top of the cab of my truck, and the windshield was spider webbed right there where that big old piece of concrete had hit. And that was 5 or 6 years ago. That was probably 2015. Now we got people trying to shut down the interstates and things like that. But you guys keep up the good work there, talking about running down the road. If you guys got any more questions, if anything else happens, I'll be sure to hit you up. But I appreciate it. Y'all be safe.
Wow.
That is a wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Whoever did that could have killed him.
Yep.
Or anybody.
Yeah.
Imagine if that hit a car and not the truck.
Yes. That's the things that people don't think about, is the consequences of what you're doing.
Manslaughter.
Yep.
Well, he called back, because I know that because it's the same number.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what he has to say now.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Colby again. I left you the message about the concrete that was thrown off the bridge in Dallas. I'm a line haul driver now for OD in Dallas. Anyway, man, as soon as I had hung up the phone, I remembered some other stories, some things that happened to me. Now, this first one, it happened when I was still in the city, and I got run down by a pit bull trying to deliver a lawnmower to a guy. So we left the terminal, and of course they put this zero turn lawnmower that weighs a couple thousand pounds, or you know, maybe a little less, and it's freighted, right? So you have to have a forklift to pick it up. But they put it in the nose of this pup trailer, in this 28-foot pup, and I didn't have a lift gate, not that I'd be able to pick it up with a floor jack anyway. But they put this thing in the nose of the trailer. Now, how in the world they think I'm supposed to get this thing off this trailer, I have no idea. Sometimes I don't know where you guys are, you know, how it is where you guys are, but between the dock and dispatch and the customer, a lot of times coordination is not so good. And then, of course, the guy trying to deliver it is the one that gets caught right in the middle of it, right? But I was pretty used to pulling rabbits out of my hat, so I wasn't too worried about it. Luckily, this guy was the last delivery, obviously, because he's in the nose of the trailer. But still, I didn't know how I was going to get it the 20 foot to the back of the trailer so we could get it off on the ground. And I was hoping that the guy had some sort of a lift or something and some idea of how to get it off my trailer. So anyway, I get to this guy's place, and it's in a very sketchy neighborhood or area of South Dallas, and he's got this pit bull that's tied up outside of his house inside of his chain link fence. And basically his front gate is a gate to drive through as well. And I can see this pit bull, he's making a big fuss, and he's wanting to tear me up, but he knows that he can't go to the end of his cable that he has, so he just kind of stays right by the house. And I could tell that if I was in that yard, that dog was going to get me for sure. But anyway, the customer wasn't there yet, so I had to give him a call and let him know I was there. He shows up, and luckily, the man had this old dinosaur of a of a forklift that was out in his back property, and he was going to go inside the yard and go and get this forklift. So I said, okay. So he opens the gate and he walks in. He leaves the gate open, and the dog's still on the cable and just watching me. And he's barking at me and growling under his breath. And I'm standing on the ground thinking everything's fine. You know, if he comes at me, I'll get in the back of the trailer. You know, hopefully I can fight him off if he can jump up there. Well, this dog keeps easing closer and closer to the end of his cable. And he's kind of pacing back and forth. And I think the dog, and he finally realized, and I realized, we both realized at the same time that his cable was actually in two pieces, broken in two. It had rusted in pieces. And when he realized that he was free and the gate was open and I was standing there outside the fence, in neutral area, by the way, it was on. That dog, he come straight to me. And before I could think, that dog had jumped right straight at my throat, at my face, and I just pulled my head back just in time, and he bit down right on my chest, on my pectoral muscle, and hung off of it for just a split second and hit the ground. And when that dog hit the ground, he took off out into the neighborhood and was gone. He vanished. And I was standing there just kind of gathering myself, thinking, what in the world just happened? And the guy who was coming around on the forklift, he comes driving up on the forklift and sees his dog's not gone, or he sees his dog's not there. And I have my shirt pulled up, looking at my chest, and I had blood running down my chest. And he says, "That dog bite you?" I said, "Yeah, he sure did." And nothing really ever came of it. I didn't press any charges, obviously, or anything like that. And the guy, he wasn't too worried about the dog running off, and we ended up getting the lawnmower unloaded, and I got back to dispatch, and they were just kind of laughing at me. Of course, I was a new guy, but I was like, you know, this, what in the world? And they wanted to see what had happened. Sure enough, man, I pulled my shirt up, and it looked like a shark bite. It had five teeth marks on the top and five teeth marks on the bottom. That joker, he jumped and got a hold of me. I'm glad he just took one bite, and then he took off and ran off. That was something else that happened in the city. Now, when I started running my route between Dallas and San Antonio, running line haul for OD, one night about 1:30 in the morning, right after I left Dallas, I got south on Interstate 35, and two cars have been pulled over in the median between the yellow line and the concrete barrier. And one person was standing outside of their car, the rear car. The person was standing outside the rear car, and then the front car, the door was open, but the person was facing back towards the rear car, but was face down on the ground with their hands basically sprawled out, and it looked like I had just drove up on the shootout, and the guy in the front car, I got gunned down and fell right up under one of those streetlights laying there. Right as he had got out and turned to go to the rear car, the guy in the rear car shot him down. And boy, it gets pretty wild out here. Anyway, you guys keep it up. I follow you on both here on Hammer Lane Legends, and it reminds me, I'd hit you up on the confessions on your other show, as they like to say. Maybe one day, Lord willing, we'll get together and talk about those things. Anyway, you guys keep up the good work, and may the Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen to that, Colby.
Wow. Listen, I think that the confessionals is known as the other
the
show.
The other show. That's what you should have called it. The other show.
That's great.
My other show.
My other show. I think I even said it in the intro. Yeah. That's funny. Hey, Colby, listen, that's why us Puerto Ricans carry knives. We slice you and dice you if there's a dog coming at you. You know? We ain't playing games. That's what I was thinking, though. I mean, when he's talking about this dog, I was thinking I would stab it.
I'll tell you what I was thinking. I'm glad the dog jumped up at his chest and not anywhere else.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, he described, he's like, it bit me in my pectoral muscle. I'm like, look at that. We got a truck driver that actually has pectoral muscles. If it happened to me, I describe it as it jumped up and bit my moob. Colby sounds like he's in fine shape.
He does,
you know,
sound like
he gets back to
shape.
The new guy gets back to the office and he's pulling his shirt off and they're whistling, you know. No, but thanks, man, for calling in and sharing those stories, and especially, you know, the shootings.
Word, yeah.
I think I mentioned it before on this show. We have a driver that has, it seems like he has a propensity of rolling up on this stuff. He's found dead bodies and things like that.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he saw a guy commit suicide. I don't know what it is with his luck, but he's one of our drivers and he has the worst luck in the world, you know? And sometimes I think the one where he came across a dead body, it's like, what are you doing? Because I think what happened was, and I didn't hear from him, so through the grapevine, I heard that he actually was driving by somewhere and he saw something underneath like a sheet, mm-hmm. and he stops his truck, gets out to look at it. And it's like, just keep driving.
Just keep moving.
Yeah. Like, let the neighbors find it. You know, let the neighbor kid find it, you know?
Right.
Just go keep driving. You have the worst luck in the world, bro. So, anyways, that's the voicemail line. And you can call into the voicemail line if you want to share some stories. If you don't feel like being interviewed, which I don't know why you wouldn't want to be interviewed, but
exactly.
If you want to if you just have a short little story or you're a little shy of talking to us, go ahead and give us a call on our voicemail. It's 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K, or 6375. That's 515-585-6375. And we'll play your voicemail as long as we can hear it. The first guy that called, I feel bad, but I couldn't hear it.
But you know, let's put this out there. If you know you called the voicemail line, you don't hear your voicemail, you know, it's because we couldn't make it out.
Yeah.
Call back. We'd love to hear your story.
Yeah.
Just call back again. Leave the message again. Because we want to play it. We want to hear it. You know,
yeah.
And we just couldn't.
Just check your bars and make sure you have enough bars on the phone.
It was just breaking up too much for us to even get an idea of what was.
Yeah.
So we apologize for that, you know, but call back, please call back and leave the voicemail.
Absolutely. So Dad, this week, who are we talking to?
You know what? This week we're talking to Dan. He is a guy who's done some plumbing work, it sounds like, and stuff like that. And he's got his own podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll get into that with him on the show.
Yeah, he's got some good stories, especially about condoms. Let's go.
He does.
All right, today we got Dan on the show. Dan, how you doing, man? Dan the man.
Hey. What's up, guys? What's going on?
Hey, man. It's good talking to you. So before we get too deep into anything, Dan, we were just talking a little bit, and you mentioned about having a podcast. I want to give you the opportunity to shout your podcast out. Tell us what it's called, what it's about, and where can we find it?
Oh, that's actually really kind of you. I mean, I'm just going to preface it by saying my podcast has nothing to do with that. No cryptids or truck driver or anything like that, so it may seem a little weird to plug it. It's called Amphibicast. It's dedicated to amphibian conservation and husbandry and things like that. It's just kind of my, you know, pet project or whatever. So it's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if anyone's interested out there.
Nice. So your podcast, you know, you didn't tell the whole story. You breed frogs.
Yes, I do. It's something that I got into. I mean, I've been keeping different species of frogs on and off for almost like 30 years since I was a kid. And, you know, I kind of got in and out of the hobby for a while. And then at one point in my life, I kind of needed to kind of regain focus and kind of get some, you know, go in a better direction. And I got back into the hobby and it was just really rewarding. But yeah, I keep, mostly poison arrow frogs, which are not, before everyone freaks, they're not poisonous in captivity.
That's good quality.
I know that's what everyone kind of thinks off the first hand. But I also keep tree frogs and a couple of other species. And,
cool.
You know, the podcast basically just serves to, you know, just kind of act as a forum for people to get together and discuss some of their observations, things that work for them, et cetera, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I always tell people, you know, cause I'm a big proponent of people starting podcasts and things like that. I think, you know, people, should venture into it. And because here's the thing, every human being has an interest in something. Mm-hmm. And if you are interested in something, you know a lot about something, start a podcast. And, you know, people will say, well, I don't know who's going to listen, who would listen to that. And here's the thing, if you're interested in it, that means you're not the only one. There's other people in the world that are interested in it, and you just got to find your audience. And I think there's an audience out there for you and everybody else that has any kind of interest. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of podcasting. I think it's a great way for people, you know, average people to, you know, create something and find their creative roots through podcasting. And I think that's really cool that you're doing that.
Oh, thanks. You know, like you said, there's a niche out there for everything. For me, this is a niche. It's something I enjoyed. It was something in my comfort zone. So made a show out of it.
Very cool.
But thanks.
So Dan, we're talking to you today. And from what I gather in the email, you're not a truck driver, right?
No, I worked for a sewer and drain outfit for a while, and I did kind of the white van thing where I was, you know, in a white van 10, 12 hours a day. But I also did work with some of the guys who drove the box truck when we would do hydrojetting, and some of the guys who would drive the pump trucks, because we had kind of a big cesspool septic tank thing going on here.
Okay. And so I was reading through some of the experiences you shared in the email. I was like, oh, this is great.
This is going to be fun.
So listen, man, I'm going to hand it over to you. Where do you want to start off?
I mean, that's up to you. I know I gave you a list, a couple of interesting anecdotes. I mean, I was with this outfit for about 15 years, and a lot of driving, a lot of being around at night, and a lot of just weird situations, because when you're dealing with sewage, nobody really wants you there in the first place. So they're not exactly putting on their best act, so to speak. So you're going to kind of get to see people when they're at their worst. So, I mean, you tell me, I rattled off a couple of things. I mean, if you want to start simple, and we can kind of go on up from
there. Let's start off with the smell. Do you ever get used to that?
go right for the heart.
No, it's a good question, because every job I would go to, I mean, you know, I got used to it after a while, but this was stuff that could gag a maggot. And people would ask me, they'll go, how do you do this every day? And I'd say, you know what? Not a day goes by, I don't ask myself that exact same question. It was just, you get used to it after a while. I mean, I've been in houses where, you know, sewer line was backed up, you know, from the basement all the way up to the first floor. And I've had, you know, the line just unload on me and just soak me from head to toe in sewage. After that happened maybe really bad once. I mean, it was in my pockets. It was in my wallet. I called my wife up. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I said, do me a favor, hon. She goes, what? She goes, why are you coming home? I said, just open the back door and have the garden hose ready. She goes, why? I said, don't worry about it. So I got home. And I was just like, remember, I think that was like Dumb and Dumber, when he got all covered with mud and he was hosing them off at the gas station. Yes. It was like that, only it wasn't mud.
Wow.
That's awful.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd ever be able to do it again after that.
after a while, you kind of get used to it. And it's funny, because you could tell different types of stoppages based on the smell.
Wow.
And
no
the worst smell was commercial kitchens, because of the grease. And the grease, like, and anybody out there who drives a pump truck and whatnot knows, like, grease is, it's a pain. It's expensive to dump. And the smell just never comes off, because you can't really get it off that easily. But I mean, we would go to like jobs where we open up a septic tank. I'm like, well, where's the tank? And it was like just a foot, 2 foot of solid grease, so hard you could almost walk on it. Wow. And then just like getting that stuff in your van or in your truck, it stunk the place up. Like, you get like a new van, and then you do one grease job, it stunk for the next, you know, however long you had the van for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, but when I was doing more like the straight truck deliveries to like restaurants and stuff, sometimes you go to these restaurants in the back, it smells bad.
They do.
And I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
And people eat the food.
They should stand in the kitchen first.
Yeah.
Most restaurants would shut down, I guess.
Yeah. You see some horrific stuff. I mean, we had this one guy who was telling me he had to stop in his neighborhood in the morning. And he passed a restaurant, and they had like a pallet of chickens outside in the morning. Now, bear in mind, this was at like maybe 6:45, 7 in the morning. He drove by on his way home around 5 o'clock later. That pallet of chickens was still there outside, and it was like 90 degrees out.
Wow.
So you use your imagination with that. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
You can't imagine what that smelled like. I mean, goodness.
Yeah, there was
you think about that the next time you get, you know,
chicken.
Yeah. Whenever I think about this stuff, I always think about the one delivery I used to do in Center City, Philadelphia, on Gilbert Avenue, which is like an alley behind the restaurant. Mm-hmm. The restaurant's called Maggiano's, and it's a restaurant chain. I don't know if it's
global.
I don't know if it's national. Is it national?
Yeah,
it is national. Yeah,
she's up in Mass.
So. Yeah, so I was delivering to a Maggiano's in Philly, and they would throw their trash out the back door, right in front of the kitchen entrance. And so every time I pull up there, I usually had like 2-3 deliveries, and you had to break down the skid and carry everything in through the kitchen into a back storage room. It took forever. Mm-hmm. And it smelled so bad. And I was just like, I would never eat here just because of the smell back here. I couldn't face it.
You know, it's there.
Yeah. You know, it's there.
Now you know it's there.
It's sliding all over the floor because the floors are all greased up. It's crazy.
I worked in a kitchen when I was in high school. Yeah.
Oh.
I worked at an oyster house.
Oh, that must be.
It stunk.
Yeah, I was going to say that smell has been amazing.
Trust me. Seafood is not a. Anyway, let's get back to Dan.
Yeah. Reel it back. So, Dan, let's just start off with this. I'm just going to say the key word overpass. You go from there.
Yeah, okay. I figured you'd like the story. Okay,
I did. I thought it was hilarious when I read it.
Okay. Most people, I'm not going to mention any names. I'll keep it kind of anonymous, but. For the first, maybe 6 or 7 years, well, maybe 5 or 6 years that I worked for this outfit, I worked at night. And we had one guy who, how do I put this delicately? He didn't always make the best choices, we'll say. And I worked in one county and he worked over one. And the night supervisor pulls me up. He says, listen, he goes, can you go help this guy out? He goes, he either got into some kind of an accident or something. He went the wrong way down a parkway. And just so you guys know, where I'm from, we got these things called parkways, like out on Long Island outside of New York City. And you can't have trucks going the parkway. There's like a low clearance. So every so often someone will get, they'll get stuck. You'll have tractor trailer or buses. From out of state will come through here. They try to go underneath this overpass, and the clearance is maybe like 12 feet. And, they'll kind of go under it or whatever, and they get stuck. The top could shear off. So I was like, all right, I hope that does not happen. So I find out later it's not that. There's this little tiny underpass that goes underneath the train tracks in this one little neighborhood. And I know where it is because my Ford van, my E250, barely fit underneath it. That's just because it kind of went down a dip and then up out. Well, apparently this guy, he didn't get stuck going down a parkway. He got stuck underneath that overpass because he had a Sprinter, which at the time was made by Mercedes. So he was on the phone with the supervisor talking about something, some job he couldn't do. And then boom, he just got he said, what happened? You're right. He goes, oh man, I'm stuck under this overpass. So apparently what happened was, it wasn't the first time that happened. So the neighbor comes out, calls the police, and he's out there standing around. He goes, you got to let the air out of the tires a little bit so you can need to back out or forward. So the cops show up, and this is, like I said, this guy wasn't really too bright. Nice guy, he just wasn't very, very bright. So the cop walks up to him, and he goes, what's your height? And he goes, oh, me? He goes, 5'6". The cop's like, all right, that's it. And he starts writing him tickets till the book is empty. And he wasn't even saying it to be funny. He just said it because that's what he thought he was talking about.
Well, that is a clueless driver.
Wow, that is.
Yeah. It opened up the top of that thing. You ever see a Sprinter? It's kind of like a wedge.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It opened the top of it like it was like a can of sardines.
Oh, wow.
Man.
That was just, yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's hilarious, dude.
It is. And what you just said there reminded me and I don't know if I've ever told this story on the show. When I was driving truck for Rico, I used to deliver copy machines. And me and this other guy were in Philadelphia. And I think it was Philadelphia. Maybe it was a different city. It might have been Wilmington. Doesn't matter. And he decides that he wants to take the truck up onto the sidewalk to get it out of the street. Mm-hmm. And and I'm sitting on the passenger seat, and I'm not driving, so I'm on my phone. I'm not looking around. It's not my job.
Attention.
It's not my job. He's the driver, and so he's doing his thing, and all of a sudden we hear this. I'm like, what was that? And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I looked at him. I said, you check.
Driver.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm just going to sit here and you check. And he walks, gets out, and he walks around the back of the truck, and he comes around my side, and he knocks on the window. I look at him, and he just looks at me, and he points up. And so I get out, and it was a steel cable on the telephone line, and he didn't see it, and it caught the box of the truck, yeah. And it just sliced through it like butter, like a tuna can, you know?
Wow.
And he said, and I was standing outside the truck, and he said, all right, stand here. I'm going to back off. Tell me how it's going. I said, dude, I am not standing anywhere near this, because if the cable snaps, a steel cable, I'm not trying to get beheaded.
It ain't cutting my head off.
Yeah, I actually went inside of a building and watched out of a window. I'm like, go ahead. You know? But I mean, it happens. I mean, we've had straight truck guys hit low bridges. I remember the one time we had a guy, he was watching his GPS, hit a low bridge and actually went underneath it, and it got shorter on the other side of it, and that's where he caught it. And he sat in his truck for a while, scared to even get out of the truck, because he's like, he got fired, you know. But yeah. He got fired and wound up becoming a supervisor for Volpe.
Oh, there you go.
He goes to another trucking company and is a supervisor. But yeah, so I imagine it's got to be hard, though, to get a Sprinter van caught, because I mean, it's not like they're that big, right, Dan?
It just depends on who's driving it.
Yeah,
I guess that's true.
I personally never would have bought one, but like, you know, nowadays, I mean, when I started, the 4D250 was like the standard. But then guys, because, you know, then you had the Sprinter come out, which was, you know, higher, and now they've got like the Transit series you can get, because the Ford doesn't make the E series anymore. They only make the Transit series. Mm-hmm. So that thing's like a big wedge of cheese, and it's not as maneuverable as it was before, you know.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, with steel cable, they outfitted us with winches to help get some of the machinery in and out of the van, and. One day I was snaking a sewer line, and my cable, you know, my machine got stuck. So now I'm like, oh man, I'm like, I don't want to have to get out here. So I'm digging this whole pipe up and everything like that. I was like, let me put the winch on. So I put the winch on, and I get like a pair of vice grips. I vice grip it to the cable, and I'm pulling. I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. I'm letting this winch go, and it's going, and it's going. All of a sudden I hear like, I'm like, oh man, no, bang, it just pops. And I was standing on the other side of the truck, which was good, because it, like, you know, when it split, went right back into the, you know, into the side door where the winch was. So if I would have been standing there, I would have been in the hospital.
Yeah.
That's scary.
But that
stuff.
Was my
that
fault.
Is scary stuff. Yeah. That's very scary.
I remember one time I had like a lifetime towing on one of the vehicles that bought, which was good, because they'd send you out to, you know, God knows where, and you never knew what you were getting into, especially before the days of like GPS. You know, I used to use the Hagstrom map. Uh-huh. So I'm looking for this address, and it's on like such and such street up in this area where I'm like, I have no idea what hell I use. So I go up there, and I get stuck in the mud. Say the address was like number 2 Jones Street or whatever. I get stuck in the mud, and I'm there for like an hour. I can't get out. So finally, one of the neighbors comes over, and she says, oh, you're stuck? I said, yeah. She goes, you know, you're the second guy from your company that gets stuck here. And I'm like, wait. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, there was a guy. He was stuck here for about 3 hours earlier. He goes, the tow truck just showed up and got him out. And now I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, what? So I called the, you know, my the tow company, and they send the guy out, and the guy shows up, and he's laughing. I'm like, did you? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I got one of you guys out of here about 2 hours ago. Well, apparently the guy got stuck, never said anything to the... He said something to the dispatcher. He said, if you send somebody back, don't let them go to this house. It's the wrong house, and they're going to get stuck. Never said a thing to me.
Wow.
So I ended up having to get winched out of there. And the whole time, they're like, are you getting to the job? Are you getting to the job? I'm like, I've been stuck here for 2 hours. I was like, and then I find out that you had another guy stuck here for 2 hours. I was like, you guys can wait. Yeah,
great communication.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, wow. Look, it's, I mean, you want to develop a good relationship with the dispatchers, but sometimes that line of communication breaks down, especially in bad weather. Like, they sent us to this one neighborhood. They sent me up to this one neighborhood on the North Shore of Long Island. The houses are really big, and this driveway was maybe like an eighth of a mile long, and it kind of had like a little bit of a downgrade. And there was snow on the ground, ice and whatnot. So I get there, I look at the job, and I tell the guy, I said, look, there's nothing I can really do for you in this type of situation, whatever the problem was. So I go to leave. So I'm going really, really slow, and I start feeling myself kind of like shifting downhill. I'm like, okay, I'll just kind of, hit the gas a little bit, real, real delicate, and then I hit it, and then all of a sudden I go back another foot. And then another, and then another. So after about 15 minutes, I'm at the bottom of this guy's driveway, practically in his living room. And the worst part is, I told the guy, I'm like, there's nothing I could do for you here. I can't, his water main was frozen. I'm like, I can't do your water main because it's about an eighth of a mile long. I said, I don't know where to put the terminals on. So I ended up getting stuck and having to have lunch with this guy at the base of his driveway, which was below grade. So finally, So I'm there for like an hour and a half. I'm like, this is ridiculous, man. So I tow company sends the guy out, and I'm looking, and I see him like an eighth of a mile down the end of the driveway. I look down, and I said, hey, guy, yeah, you going to come in here? He goes, hell no. He goes, look how it ended up for you. I'm like,
okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so he came down, he ended up, he put chains on the tires, and I got out in like 30 seconds with the chains on. But I was like, you got a winch? He goes, no way. He goes, I'm not going anywhere near that. Cause it's like a booby trap.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, did you ever have to do any, with that kind of work and stuff, like digging up septic tanks and stuff like that?
Yeah, I dug up a lot. Now, I mean, you guys are in PA, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, the systems that you guys have there are a little bit more like modern. I mean, we got some here that are like pushing like 100 years old. I mean, I've been on properties where they had 100-year-old cesspools, which is basically just like an igloo made out of cinder block, right? And I was out on this job one night, and I was lifting the cover to check the level of it. Well, the collar, which is like maybe like a 3-foot circle of just like bricks, just like red bricks with like a cement cover on it, well, caves in. So I just like went like flat down on my back. I put my arms and my legs out, on the grass, because I was like, if you fall in there, you're dead, you're gonna die. So I did that, and I just kind of like doggy paddled, not like doggy paddled, but like kind of like paddled my way across the grass, like as far away from it as I possibly could. It was 11 o'clock at night, and it was pouring rain. I was like, this is bad news. But yeah, you can die in those things.
I can imagine. Holy cow, you fall into something like that.
That's scary.
Yeah, that is scary.
Yeah, it is. I had a guy tell me once, he goes, why don't you go down in there? I'm like, there's no oxygen there. I was like, I'll go in there, I'll pass out, and I'll die. He goes, oh yeah, good point. I was like, yeah, I think so.
Sometimes you want to say, you go down in there.
Well, it's a good thing you think on your feet.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had a lot of homes out here, especially if they got developed, because a lot of the homes on Long Island were originally, especially out in the East End, were developed just to kind of be like bungalows for summer houses. But as people started living out here more and more, year round, people live full time in the house, put a lot of tax on the systems to perform. So I'd always help, I'd go help the guys out. When they show up at the pump trucks, we'd work together and help them get the hoses out. We'd locate the cesspool together, et cetera, and work on it. Well, a lot of times you'd find odd stuff. And I know that this was one of the other stories that I emailed you guys about. is it okay if I go into that?
Oh, my word.
Dude,
yeah.
Go into it, man.
Okay. Well, all right. Certain things that you flush stay there. And one of those things is condoms. Now, a lot of times what happens is you show up to a pool and, it's full, and I mean, the guy will be there. Like, okay, well, we find it, we open it up, and a lot of times the homeowner would come out and want to see what was going on in there, especially if it was something really bad, like something they weren't supposed to be doing. We used to call them Coney Island whitefish, because in the 80s, the beaches around here had all sorts of, like, medical waste and whatnot and stuff like that. And sometimes you'd find those things on the beach. and it looks like a dead fish. So we call Coney Island whitefish. So what do you got in this? Yeah, we got some whitefish swimming around. Well, anyway, one day the homeowner comes out and he says to the guy, he goes, "What is all that?" And I usually keep my mouth shut in situations like that because it's not my job. It's, you know, it's his job and he's collecting for it. He goes, "Those are condoms." He goes, "Condoms?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I had a vasectomy 15 years ago." He said, "How long do you live in the house?" He says, 30 years. Oh, my God.
Whoops.
Yeah. There you go, breaking up marriages.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's the other thing is the human element. You know, after the fact, you know, there were, you know, the guy went inside. You could hear him going off, screaming, carrying on and whatnot. And it's not, that's not the only time that happened. That actually happened quite a few times.
Really?
Quite a few times. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We had one where, I don't want to get too into that one, but one person, one, I'm going to be very, very general, but, one person ended up dragging the younger person out by this person's hair, putting her face on the grass and screaming, "You're paying for this. You and your boyfriend are down there. You're the ones who did this. You're the one who cost me $1,600. Yeah. It would get ugly.
Somebody pissed off daddy.
Sometimes. No, it wasn't. It was the mom.
Oh, geez. Okay.
The mom was not too happy, you know, about what was, so.
Jeez.
Hey, these are things that happen, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. But
that's life.
Look, you know, this is not, you know, the most savory business in the world. And unfortunately, stuff gets out of control pretty easily sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, talk about exposing dirty secrets.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That might be the show title.
No, it's you flush it, we're going to find it. You know, it's just how it goes. You know, look. It's a big well that fills up with your crap.
Yes.
It's not, you know.
But that's one of the funny things that you think people would understand it. Not everything is flushable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, is that, and then, you know, not to get preachy, but this, you know, it does a tremendous amount of environmental damage.
Exactly.
I mean, out here, I mean, our fisheries out here, they kind of go up and down. But, you know, because of all the cesspools on, you know, different parts of the island, we get a huge nitrogen boom every year, and it kills off a lot of fish. Mm. So everything that you flush, I mean, even things like, you know, like birth control pills, medications and whatnot, that can get into public water supply.
Yes, it can.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't necessarily get into the public water supply, it also gets into the local water supply. And that's going to affect, I mean, like, you know, I know I went on a rampage about frogs before, but it can, there is evidence that it can, not necessarily, but it can also affect the gender ratio in frogs. So you might get more frogs that are female that have been exposed to certain medications, birth controls, hormones, even certain plants. Like soy and clover actually will produce like hormones that can skew the sex of different organisms. But right. I'm not going to get too far into science class, but yeah, it can do a lot of damage.
Remember, we're truck drivers, so science doesn't mix good with us.
Yeah,
wheels go in circles. That's about as far as we know.
That's our geometry.
I mean, on the road though, like just seeing some weird stuff, like, you know, because a lot of us, we would, you know, we'd work together, and we were at, I'm trying to put this story into like context, but we had a couple of box trucks that we had hydrojetting equipment in. It was basically like a high pressure, almost like a huge compressor. You compress water up to about, you pressurize it up to about 4,000 PSI and use it to blast open, you know, roots and stuff like that, and sewer lines. So we had this one guy, he was young, and he was on one of the expressways and he's driving and something happened, like a guy cut him off and he had to slam on his brakes. Now you got a reservoir on the back of the truck. Okay. Now if that's half full of water and you slam on those brakes, what's happening with that water? It's hitting the front of that vessel.
Yep.
And it's throwing off the balance. So what happened was he ended up rolling over the divider and flipping over. Just from hitting his, I mean, he hit him hard. The guy cut him off. But what happened was He was fine, by the way. But, you know, he rolled over. And what happened was one of the managers saw him on the way back to her house because she was going out that way, going the opposite way. She sees the whole truck. She's like, oh, man, just put her hands over her eyes and just drove by and was like, oh, God, I don't want to have to come back to work tomorrow and deal with this disaster. he was okay, though. He was okay. Like, what happened? He goes, I don't know, man. He goes, I just closed my eyes. The next thing I knew, it was over. So
that's got to be scary.
That was a rough one. I'm I mean, like, you know, any accident, yeah, any accident you can walk away from is a good accident.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, yeah. you guys, what you guys do driving, people don't realize it takes a lot of courage. I mean, when I would be out driving, you know, I see the way some of these people drive, you know, cutting off tractor trailers, you know, you're cutting off box trucks. I'm like, these guys can't see you. You know, if you're up coming up in this guy's blind side, like, he can't see you. Mm-hmm. I said, if he turns, guess which one of you was going to the morgue? It's not going to be him.
Exactly.
So I always tried to give those guys a wide berth. And, you know, just that was the other thing, was like getting into accidents and whatnot. I mean, I got sick of it. And that was the other reason why I don't do that work anymore, was because just the amount of driving was just like, it was just too stressful, especially when you have to get into the city. Now, I know you don't like going into the city, Tony, but like, it's people who live here, it's not easy either. Because as soon as you cross that line, even to the outer boroughs, you're getting a ticket for anything. Just looking out the window, it's a $50 ticket. You know, you were doing 8 miles an hour, and 8 miles an hour is zero. Oh, that's a ticket. So yeah. it takes a special breed to do, you know, just to do what you guys do every single day.
Yeah, it's funny because I have this saying now with myself in the truck now, because I'd say over the last month or two, I've noticed that driving has gotten back to normal with people being aggressive around trucks and all that stuff. And I just say to myself, every time somebody's cutting me off and being a jerk around me, flipping me the bird, I say to myself, hero no more, you know. Because for a while there, everybody's like, thank you so much for your service,
truck drivers are heroes.
Like, I was, you know, an army veteran, and now it's back to, you know, screw you, get out of my way,
you're nothing but a big obstacle to them now.
That's
all right.
No, it's very, very true.
It goes with the job.
But and then just, you know, all the nonsense you got to deal with the CDL and whatnot. It's just dealing with the regular van nonsense was bad enough. But I've seen some pretty bad accidents because, I mean, out of it the whole day. I mean, when I started, I was never home. I would, you know, I get called. I worked at night, but I was always getting called into work early, like 9-10 o'clock in the morning. And I was off Thursdays. So I was never home, never saw anything. All I saw was just road and the inside of people's houses and businesses. But I seen some bad accidents. And it's like, you know, when someone's driving, you're like, they're gonna get into an accident, especially when it's bad weather. Like, we had a storm a couple of years ago, and it got, like, you know, the weather was really, really cold. So the asphalt kind of, you know, it was a layer of ice, real thin layer of ice, and then it kind of warmed up a little bit and it started to snow, and it was like really, really thick slush. So I'm leaving the shop, going to a job. I'm like, all right, I'm only going to do like 45 here on the express. So I'm going to stay in the right lane. And this guy goes tearing past me at like maybe like doing like 70. And I'm like, all right, that's it. It's over. And all of a sudden I see him, you know, he goes to change lanes and he just completely spins out. Does a complete like 360, maybe twice, hits the divider, does another 360, and then ends up off the side of the embankment. I'm like, oh man, I'm like, this guy's dead. There's no way he lived through that. So I pull over, you know, just to, you know, to see if he's okay. And the guy gets out, dusts himself off. I'm like, are you all right? I'm like, is there anyone else in the car? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. I gotta let my boss know what happened. He takes off up the divider and just disappears into the woods.
He just ran away from the scene?
Yeah, man. He just got out. He goes, oh man, he goes, I gotta tell my boss. Just, you know, just goes up the embankment into the, you know, I mean, it's not like woods, it's not like woods, but like, you know, he just takes off up the embankment and disappears. I'm like, okay.
That sounds like somebody who had a stolen vehicle.
I don't think it was a stolen vehicle. I think that this person maybe didn't have a license.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Maybe he didn't have a license. Maybe he didn't have insurance or something like that. That was my suspicion. I mean, no one got hurt, you know, but it was a strange thing. My wife,
yeah.
As he's running away, he's probably thinking to himself, consider this my resignation.
I quit. My wife asked me, she goes, how come there's all these cars that they just leave them on the side of the road? And I'm like, now I have an answer for her. I'm like, it's when stuff like that happens. Like,
yep.
They just take off and leave the car.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't imagine ever just taking off like that.
Nope.
Well, I guess I come from a different mentality. So.
Yeah, but this was, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well, probably nobody knows. Boss probably never heard from me either again.
Yeah, I don't want to know what happened either.
Nope. That's always my go-to thing. Yeah, what I don't know, nobody can hold me responsible for. So
yeah,
I ask no questions and I'll tell you no lies.
So
yeah, don't ask, just don't tell.
Yep, that's it.
Tell me about this story about. I'll just give you the key phrase: gas tank.
Oh, okay. Like I said, again, I really can't get into too much detail, but I'll leave you guys to kind of fill in your imaginations. So every so often you'll get a disgruntled worker. And apparently there was a disgruntled worker on the job. And, the tanker trucks, when you treat a cesspool, you're using sulfuric acid. So we keep 5 gallon, drums of sulfuric acid. And apparently, my dog's not going. Apparently, this guy got a bug up his bum about something or other. And I came into the shop one day, and there was just like white smoke billowing out of the garage. The guy had put, suspected, we don't know who did it, but somebody had put gasoline, had put sulfuric acid into the gas tank.
Wow.
So I walked in. All right, I walked in. My boss just emerged like from this cloud. I saw his face. I just turned around and walked away because the hellfire that rained down from above after that happened was just like it was just nuts. I mean, they don't know who did it. They had some ideas, but I mean, I had, when the guy came in, the other driver came in to start his truck up in the morning. The mess was just like disastrous.
Yeah, it's no.
So now we know what happens if you. Yeah, now we know what happens if you put sulfuric acid in someone's gas tank.
Oh yeah, I can't imagine. What
I wonder
that's
if
doing.
Yeah. Whoever did it, I wonder if they knew it was going to do that, or if they were just like, "This will ruin the vehicle."
I don't know if it was. I mean, they had to have a lot of work done on the truck after that, obviously. But I think they ended up having to replace the gas tank, and it ended up costing like a fortune because I mean, some of those dump trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you could drive like $100,000 truck. Yeah, people don't realize that,
right.
But because it hauls crap around in it. But yeah, that was, and then it happened again.
Ooh,
oh my word!
Yeah,
we got a serial killer here, or a serial crime.
Yeah,
a serial offender.
Well, what was funny was, the guy who actually looked like a serial killer.
So you know who it was?
It was just so strange. Yeah, it was so. No, they don't know who it was. It was just bizarre. It was really, really wow. Strange. But one of those really, really weird things that happened.
That's time for some security cameras.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, another time we were doing, they got them after that. We were doing an excavation and we'd like to start the excavations earlier. I think we were placing a sewer line going through the cesspool or something like that. So I went out with the guy, with the operator, to give him a hand, and he's digging and he hits underground electric. So we see it's like the front light for the house go off. And then we see every other house up the block going off. And he's like, oh, man. And then all of a sudden, very, very slowly, you just see neighbors kind of coming out of the house. Kind of look left, look right. Like, what happened? And all of a sudden, all the eyes turn on him. They're all like, it was you.
Oops.
He felt so bad about it. But sometimes it happens,
Yeah, if you think about it.
Operating the machine.
Yeah,
the being the target of somebody, the being the target of a neighborhood losing their power. Because if you think about like when you lose your power, you get irritated, like freaking A,
Yeah, and what happened?
Yeah, and you're trying to figure it out and all that stuff. And to be the guy, it's like, oops.
Yeah,
that's the worst.
Yeah. Don't be that guy.
Don't be exactly. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, I'll tell you, but you take someone's ability to be able to go to the bathroom away.
Oh yeah,
does it get ugly fast?
Yeah, I bet.
Really bad.
Forget about it. You're talking about these gas tanks, and it reminds me of, with the tractor trailers these days, you have what's called DEF fluid, and they put it in the vehicles to help them burn cleaner and things like that. But they tell you, do not put the DEF fluid by mistake into the gas into the fuel tank, mm-hmm. because it will ruin the motor. And this is years ago. The guy's retired now. He accidentally took the DEF and put it in the fuel tank, and he just squeezed it a little bit, like squirted it in there. He's like, oh, crap. And so he switched it over, and he drove his truck that day because he's like, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a little bit. And he went to Northeast Philly, did all his driving, got down to the road where my terminal's on at the red light, and he's waiting to turn. And that's when his truck went plop, plop, plop. And done. And and he was almost home, you know? And it turns out that's what he did and stuff, and it ruined the motor. Absolutely ruined the motor. Wow. And so yeah, I mean,
oh man.
Putting stuff in any kind of fuel tank, it just put fuel in it. Don't put anything else in it. But yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
I mean, you just never know with these vehicles what the fatal error is gonna be. Tell me about these manholes bursting open.
I was just thinking that one too. I was reading my notes. I'm like, manholes burst open. I got to hear that story.
It depends on where you are. I mean, and it can happen for a different number of reasons. In the city, a lot of the underground utilities, that they go through like these conduits that have manholes. So if you hear the news in the city, like a manhole burst, it might've been a utility, a fire, a gas, like whatever. But like sometimes what happened would be you'd get like, if we would get really, really bad storms, New York City's sewer district is a little bit different from other parts of the country. Well, I don't know. I mean, but I would assume, but all the storm water and the water from the bathrooms, the sanitary, all goes to the same place. So if you get a real, real heavy rain, those sewer lines will fill up and they'll overflow. A lot of times they'll go into people's houses and just trash them. But I've seen it where I'm driving down. I mean, it's pouring, like it's been pouring for days, and those manhole covers come right up and just like will actually get like carried away down the street. And you know, it's like open a pinata, only it's not candy that comes out of there, so you can use your imagination.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, that and I just, you'll see them. Like one time actually I was checking manhole covers to see if I had it actually wasn't in New York City. This is out on the island, but they had a private pump station. So all the bathrooms, they all joined, they went through a sewer and they went to this pump station that dealt with it. Sorry, that was my ring doorbell. What was I going to say? So it's pouring rain. I'm out there and I'm popping these manhole covers open. I'm looking, I'm checking the level, and all of a sudden this car pulls up with lights on me. I'm like, man, I'm like, you son of a bitch. I'm like, it's like 10 o'clock at night, 10:30. I'm like, you stop and you shine your lights on me. Like, you can see what I'm doing. What do you want? So I get up. I'm like, I give this guy some choice words, which I'm not going to repeat. And then the guy turns his cherries on. It was a cop.
Oops.
He says, what are you doing? I said, what do you think I'm doing? You know, I said, I'm going scuba diving. He goes, oh, all right, fine. And, show up. Yeah. Yeah, manhole cover's taken off.
Yeah. I can't imagine, man. Yeah. I imagine with that line of work, you see a lot of stuff. I mean, every day is an adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts. I mean, some weird stuff. Well, let me ask you this now. Tony, your dad you didn't really use GPS at the time. You used the Hagstrom, right?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I used maps. Right. Yep.
Now, you know that like when you use the map, it's usually going to be a little bit more accurate than the GPS, right? Because sometimes the GPS take you to the wrong place.
Yep. I don't know about that. Yep.
Because you're actually planning it out yourself. You can see the whole area. Yes. That's what
exactly,
I like about a map.
Yeah. Well, I used to use the Hagstrom maps.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much forever until, parts of the area where I work got developed. And then a lot of that changed. Well, we had a tech once, and this tech was driving out to the eastern end of Long Island with his two forks. You got the North Fork and you got the South Fork. And there's a couple of ferries that go around. Well, this tech went out there and was expecting to take the ferry from the north, from the South Fork to the North Fork, because otherwise you'd come all the way back in and go like almost, 20, 30, 40 miles out of your way. Well, she gets on the ferry, and it's the last ferry. It doesn't go to the North Fork. It goes onto this island, and it was the last ferry that was going over for the evening. So she actually got stuck on this island the whole night and had to come back out the next morning because she followed the GPS. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I was
like, everybody's laughing at me. I was like, that's what happened. I was like, that's what happens when you listen to the GPS and you don't plan first.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because I always had to look out for, you know, like whatever. I mean, we didn't have a route. We kind of just went wherever we were going. But some of these places you go, like there was, we went on down by the shore. There was a government installation, and I was sent down there. And the dispatcher, I mean, it's kind of on an island. You know, it's on an island off the island. The dispatcher calls me. She goes, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm down here." She goes, "I'm looking at the GPS here, and you're out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean." I'm like, "Well, that's because of where I am." No? I was like, "I'm like half of a mile off of you know where the GPS would stop."
Yep.
I don't know, boss. I'm just going for a swim. Just, what do you think?
Yeah.
I thought I'd take the truck.
I was like, "I don't know." I was like, I started driving. The bridge went out to me, and I just kept going.
Yeah. Didn't you see the new snorkels on the trucks? We're good.
Yeah.
That's funny.
What? I thought of the hydroplane really bad.
So tell me about these strange things you see in the sky at night. I mean, you mentioned that in the email as well.
Yeah, that was all right. That was a weird. When I say strange things, I really don't even know how to describe it because it was. You know, something happens and it's really, really weird and it's really, really quick. So I was driving out and going back like 16 years, the eastern end of, you know, where I live was really, really dark at night. And you could see the stars, you could see everything. So I'm driving out there, God knows where out, like late at night. And I'm kind of like the only person on the stretch of road, but there's two cars that are sitting on the side of the road, and there's people come out and they just kind of staring up at the sky. Like, what is that? So I kind of slow down and I look up and I just see this light. It's just like a bright white light, just sort of like sitting there. I'm like, all right, that's really, really odd. But I'm like, oh, maybe it's a, you know, maybe it's a plane, maybe a helicopter's coming because I don't hear any sounds. So I'm just kind of, you know, just driving along real slow. And all of a sudden, it just takes off really, really fast and then disappears. It was just so fast that it's like, I'm like, what was that? You know what I mean? It wasn't that dramatic. It was just weird. You know, why did this thing go from just being completely motionless to just taking off faster than I'd ever seen anything go in my life?
It is weird,
you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you see it and you're like, did I see what I saw? You know, it's one of those things that, how do I explain that to somebody? You know? So yeah, I totally get it.
I mean, I never even said anything about it up until now because it's... On its face, it's like, oh, you saw a light. It's like, no. It's like, I saw a light just kind of hover there, perfectly still, and then just take off and then disappear.
Yeah, it's weird. It's crazy. And it sounds crazy when you put it to words, you know, when you're actually trying to express it to somebody, and you think to yourself, they're going to think I'm a nut.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, sometimes things happen, and it's like you're not prepared for that.
Right.
And people say, like, why didn't you have a camera? And I don't know, because I wasn't ready for that. I was minding my own business, just driving, thinking about something else. And then I look, and apparently I wasn't the only one, because there was like two other people out there just, you know, looking up at the sky, staring at this thing. So I don't know how long it was there for beforehand.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I never truly understood, I guess, the sense of seeing something strange and not thinking about taking your phone out to take a picture or something until it happened to me. I'm in the woods and I'm hiking with three other guys, and it's probably like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And we see a pulsating light inside the canopy of the forest, sitting still, just pulsating on and off. And it's a little, you know, some different colors. And I was the first one to see it. I stopped everybody. We're all just standing there looking at it, and we're out there looking for Bigfoot, you know? And so we see this, and we're just looking at it, and not one time did I ever think to reach in my pocket, pull my phone out, see if I could get it on camera. And I think we stood there looking at it for, you know, 30 seconds or more until it pulsated out. And not one time did I think about it. And it's just one of those things where when you're in the moment, you're in awe and you're not thinking about recording it for future. Just like, I'm looking at this. Am I really looking at this? You know, it's totally different in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, there have been times where I've been working, you know, working some neighborhoods that have, you know, got a high crime rate and whatnot. And you just kind of mind your own business and you see something happen, and it starts and ends so quick that you just, like, you're just standing there, like, with your mouth open. It's like, what just, did I actually just see that?
Yes.
But I mean, that you at least expect to see, you know what I mean? Something weird like that, you have no way of explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Dan, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing these stories. Before we get out of here, though, I want to give you one more chance to share your podcast. I know you weren't planning on it, but I just want to give you some opportunity to share it with other people.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, like I said, it really has nothing to do with anything, you know, like what we just talked about.
Right.
But yeah, it's called Amphibicast. I promise I'm going to show them a lot more serious than I am now. But, you know, I didn't really come on to plug my show. I just came on just to... you know, just share some more stories with you guys. But I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I'm always willing to share somebody else's podcast and stuff. When you said you had a podcast and stuff, I thought, oh man, I definitely want to, you know,
that's really cool.
Give you a shout out and stuff, and maybe let some, because you never know who's listening, you know, maybe somebody that's listening to the show is into the same topic and they're like, oh, I would love to talk to this guy about this. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we lived in a trailer park and there was a couple, I know you remember these people, Pat and Al, and they had, you know, snakes and frogs. They had aquariums. I know they had like an aquarium going from floor to ceiling and, you know, tons of different, you know, animals inside. I think they even had like a half coyote or something like that as a pet.
They're,
and they had like a lot of, you know, crazy, you know, not normal house pets, you know?
Not what you would normally think.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, you just never know who's hobbying out there are.
You know, it's funny that you say like what you just said, because I have to, I have to explain to them. I said, we don't exactly live like most people, you know what I mean? And we don't really have to decorate for Halloween in this house. So it's just the way, it's the way it goes.
Like,
you know, not everybody has, you know, 30 frogs in their basement, but you know, it's just the way it goes.
But that's cool. I mean, some people have 30 cats running around their house.
It's
so, hey, you know,
they're called cat.
Hey, you know what? Everyone, I ran into a lot of that stuff too, but as long as you're not hurting anybody, you're doing things responsibly in the way they're supposed to be, and especially if when it's other living things. I mean, if you're looking out for something else's interest and you're doing it to the fullest of your abilities and you're putting their needs before yours, you know, then I got no problem with
you. Yep, you got that right. To each their own, and there's nothing wrong
with
that.
I had a friend when I was growing up, and his parents raised homing pigeons, and they would race them, I guess that's what you call racing. But I remember sometimes they would take them out to like Harrisburg, release them, and by the time they get to the house, the birds are already starting to show up and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, you know, people have different interesting hobbies, and I like I said to you in the beginning, you know, if you're interested in it, there's a good chance other people are interested in the same thing. And if you're the one that starts the podcast, you're the one that gets all that attention then.
Yep.
And it's just finding that audience and stuff. So Dan, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing the stories and sharing about your podcast, man.
I appreciate you guys having me. I really enjoy the show, and it's a real honor for you guys to have me on. I appreciate it.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, Dad, what can they do?
They can do the same thing they do every week.
Every week.
Share this show. Share Hammer Lane Legends with your friends and family. Share it on TikTok. Nope, don't share it on TikTok. Share it on Instagram. Share it on Twitter and Facebook. Join the Facebook fan page. Get involved with other fans of the show. And Lindsay does a great job being kind of a moderator there.
Yeah.
And she's really doing a fantastic bang-up job on it, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I would say also we can get the gear section going on the website,
yes,
right?
Yes, we can.
Tell them what's on there.
Oh, there's all kinds of cool stuff on there. We got hoodies, we got t-shirts, we got pullover hoodies. Do we have zip-up hoodies yet?
We have access to zip-up hoodies.
I gotta
make them. Yeah, but I think I gotta make them. Maybe I'll make it this week because I'm off of work this week.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but we also have a hoodie and t-shirt combo on there called Hammer Lane Gang. It's an awesome design of a cool tractor, and on top it says Hammer Lane, on the bottom it says Gang.
I'm telling
you guys, it's a really, really cool design, and you need to check it out. Purchase it, take pictures of it, send it to us, and we'll post it on the IG. You know what IG stands for?
I have no idea.
I didn't think so. Instagram.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyways, guys, thanks a lot. And oh, by the way, my dad told me after we were done recording that he actually has a story of when he saw somebody getting shot when he used to pedal the city. So maybe one day he'll share that story when the mood strikes him, but apparently wasn't good enough for this show. Anyways, until next week, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Hey, I'm on vacation every single day 'cause I love my occupation. Hey, hey, hey. I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it. Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, 'cause I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day, ay. Everybody's sour like a lemon tree. I'm just smiling down upon my enemies. Do the shit I love it on a daily. Say you hate your job, but you'll never leave, never leave. But that ain't gonna be me, that ain't gonna be me. My brother called me up, said he saw me on TV. I said it wasn't easy, but right now I'm living breezy. Build this engine from the ground up, now my hands, they ain't so greasy, feel me? Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, 'cause I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day. Illuminate my future bright, so thankful for everything. Rejuvenate in my inner light as I work hard for all I need. Open arms, embracing life and all of which you gave me. Hard work, it pays off, I'm happy now, it's paying me. Close my eyes, sometimes I feel as if I float away. I love the life I live and enjoy the ride along the way. I'll make a living out of living, yeah, that's what I say. I got one life to live and I would live in no other way. I'm on vacation every single day, 'cause I love my occupation. I'm on vacation every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day. Van Gogh, my earlobe, I can't hear, I'm here though. I may be a weirdo, but this is my year, yo. My life may be crazy, my lack of the lazy has let me do shit that I love on the daily. Daily, daily, get to do the shit I love upon the daily. Daily, daily, everybody go and live your daydreams up. I'm on vacation every single day, 'cause I love my occupation. I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it. I'm on vacation every single day, 'cause I love my occupation.